We've been talking about the last couple of weeks investment. Week one, we looked at spiritual investments. We talked about investing in spiritual leaders and investing in spiritual things. And remember, the first principle we saw is your spiritual investment always brings a return. Number two, we saw that your return is sure, but the timing is not. And number three, the third principle we saw was your return will always be in proportion to your sowing. Sow a lot, reap a lot. Sow a little, reap a little. Last week, we saw that we should be investing in people, investing in each other. And despite what some of you think, God has created us to be social creatures. There's no Jeremiah Johnson Christians out there. Sorry if that breaks or bursts your bubble. God has made us creatures that are supposed to be socializing with each other. We need each other. We saw that in the life of Christ. We saw that Christ loved people. He invested in people. We saw Christ died for people. And we saw that not only did Christ love people, Christ died for people, Christ invested in people. So if Christ did these things, so should we. We saw that the chief end of man was in Ecclesiastes 12:13, which says, "Fear God and keep his commandments." Today we're going to be talking about your greatest investment that you could ever make. We're going to be talking about investing in the Word of God. Investing the Word of God into your life. It's been estimated, you know, we just read the chief end of man, which is Ecclesiastes 12:13. It was written by probably the wisest man to ever live, Solomon. Solomon's net worth was estimated at more than $2 trillion U.S. dollars. That's a lot of money. The man had all the money in the world. Had all the pleasures of this world. $2 trillion. Put that in perspective. Our national debt, I looked it up this morning, is $21 trillion. Solomon, in all of his wealth, can only pay for a portion of our national debt. That's not good. That's a poor investment, right? Solomon had everything that this world could offer. Every pleasure that this world could ever have. And yet, after he'd experienced all things, he said it was all pointless. It was all worthless. The only thing that mattered was what was done for God, was fearing God and keeping his commandments. He says in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10 and 11 in regards to money, he says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. He who loves abundance with increase, this is also vanity." Means empty, pointless, worthless. Proverbs, he says the same thing. Proverbs 8, verses 10 through 11. Receive instruction. Receive the word of God, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. He's saying the most important thing that we should desire more than anything is the word of God, is Jesus Christ himself. You see that all through that Proverbs 8. And he says, to fear God is to hate evil. And those that love me, those that seek after wisdom, those are the ones that I love. Why is the Word of God worth investing into your life? We're going to look at five reasons why. One of the reasons is the expert of all things, King Solomon. He had experienced everything this life had to offer. He was an expert in everything that this world has to offer. And he said, every pleasure of this world is worthless except for knowing God, cherishing his word. So Solomon says it. Take it from the expert. Well, let's see what the word of God has to say. Why is the Word of God worth investing into our lives? And everything I'm going to tell you this morning, everything that I'm going to mention to you in a sermon, this sermon, you've heard. You've heard. But the question will be, is are you applying it? The first reason why the Word of God is worth investing into our lives is that the Word of God never fails. It does not return void. We see that in Isaiah 55 and verses 10 through 11. Isaiah the prophet is saying as rain comes from down from heaven and so does snow, and we're seeing that this morning. As it comes down from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth. There's a purpose behind why God gives us the snow. I know we're questioning that this morning. Lord, why? He knows. His thoughts, Isaiah said before this verse, are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. God knows better than we know. But they go forth and they do not return. But they go to the earth and they water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And then he says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. That word void means empty, empty-handed. But it shall accomplish. That word accomplish means to make, to do, to fashion, or to produce. It's going to accomplish, it's going to do that which God pleases, and it shall prosper in the things for which I have sent it. That's the first reason why the Word of God is worth investing into your life. It's because the Word of God does not return void. It does not fail. What God says in His Word, we can be sure that He will do. He's going to accomplish. See, there's two different points of views about this verse, and I believe there's good people who stand on either sides of this. What does that mean, that the word does not return void? Many have used this in terms of evangelism. When I go out and share the gospel, when I go out and preach Christ, and I share the very words of Christ, it will not return void. But what about all those people that I've shared the gospel with, I've shared the scriptures with, and they've never accepted Christ? They've heard it, it went in one ear and out the other. Has God's word returned void? Has God's word returned empty? Has it not accomplished what God has told it to do? This is a very logical point of view. I tend to lean on this standpoint, that whatever God's word says it's going to do, you can be sure that it's going to happen. When God says He's coming back, He's coming back. That's something that I know for sure. When God says He's going to accomplish something, you can be sure that it's going to be accomplished. You can be assured that the Word of God will impact lives. Isaiah tells us that it's never going to return void. It's never going to return empty-handed. It accomplishes the purpose for which God sends it. And that's really important. When we see something written in God's Word, when God says something, we should be listening. We should be listening, because the Bible is authoritative. When it speaks, it's not a book of suggestions. Here's how you should live your life. Suggestively, it's a command. Here's how God wants you to live your life. And when God says, thus saith the Lord, it means, thus saith the Lord. Too many of us are taking the Word of God as a book of suggestions instead of thinking as the ultimate authority in this life. Isaiah said in the very first chapter of this book, he says, oh, hear heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. We need to listen to the Word of God when we read it, when we hear it preached. And we need to take what the Word of God says seriously. And we need to understand that what God says He will accomplish, He will accomplish. We've got to stop taking it so lightly. We've got to see it as the ultimate investment for our lives. Things God says He will do in His Word. Here's one. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you'll be forgiven from your sins and you'll be saved. That's a good truth. That's amazing. We should be so excited that that truth is in God's Word. And because God says it, it'll be accomplished. Here's another promise. One day God will punish and judge all sin. 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 10 says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor the immorals, nor the homosexuals, nor the thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor the revilers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. God is going to punish sin. This is not, oh, maybe, this is going to happen. God will judge and punish all sin. One day Christ is coming back. The Bible says in Matthew 25 in verses 31 through 46 that the Son of Man will come in his glory and all the angels with him, and he will sit on the glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. One day the Lord's coming back, and all those who are his, he's going to take to home to be in heaven with him. This is something the Word of God says that God's going to do and he will accomplish. If we confess our sins, the Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. 1 John 1:9. That's a really important truth. If we confess our sins, God will forgive us. Christ will finish the work that he started in you. Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. If you're a child of God, he's going to finish the work that he has started in you. You're God's masterpiece. If we trust God, he will direct our paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know that verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. God promises to direct your paths if you trust in him. These are just some of the many truths that we find. God will hear our prayers. Don't be anxious about anything, but by everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's just one of many verses that say that God will answer your prayers, and he hears your prayers. A future with him. John 14:3, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you should be also. You will be also. Death is not the end. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, concerning those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. If we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. These are great truths. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to restore this heaven and earth and make it new. We studied a whole series on that, and that should be encouraging. Romans 14:11, and I love this. For as it is written, as I say, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I don't believe in God. Whether you believe it or not, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is God. That is something he is going to accomplish whether you believe it or not. What God's word says he will do, he will accomplish. It does not return void. Have you ever had someone make you a promise that they couldn't keep? That's probably happened to all of us at some time. Have you ever made a promise that you couldn't keep? I can remember different promises that were made in my life that were never kept. I can remember promises I made myself that I did not keep. Why? Because we're sinful human beings, right? When God makes a statement, when God makes a promise, you can be sure. You can bet your life on it. You can invest your life in it, that it will come true. Investing your life in the Word of God is a sure thing because the Word of God never returns void. Secondly, not only does the Word of God never return void, the second reason why our life, why the Word of God is worth investing into our lives is that the Word of God endures forever. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, the grass withers. It's probably withering right now. The flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. And 1 Peter 1:24 through 25, Peter says the same thing. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. God's word's worth investing into your life because it will endure forever. That word endure means to stay, to remain, to continue, to abide. And that word forever means an unbroken age, eternal. God's word is going to be here forever. The word of God is worth investing in your life because it will continue for eternity. And as we saw in our Heaven series, we're going to spend eternity studying the Word of God. We're going to spend all of eternity studying God's Word. This book is eternal. It endures forever. Matthew 24 and verse 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Matthew 5:18, "For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away from this law, till all is fulfilled, till all is accomplished." Investing the Word of God in your life is the greatest investment one could ever make. Do you want to invest into your future? Invest into the Word of God. It will not only affect your life today, it will change your life tomorrow. Do you understand that really, truly, the greatest investment you can ever make in eternity, in your future, is the Word of God and the things that it tells us to do? Because everything else is going to pass away. Matthew in chapter 6 and verses 19 through 20, Jesus told us, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust does destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where neither thieves do not break in and steal." Many of us are making the focus of our lives on building a career and building our retirement. And of those, these things are not bad and wrong. And I think God would want us to be wise in our financial investments in this life. I think that it's very important that we are wise with our finances, and that's what God would want us to do. That should not be the entire focus of our life, to just make my career be the most prosperous thing in my life, to make sure I have the biggest 401k so at the end of my life I can just sit back and relax. Those are good things, but that shouldn't be the focus of our life. A good career and a large 401k will not impact our eternity. It will pass away. And then your kids will get it and they'll be fighting over it. Hopefully not. The Word of God, however, is, and all its truths will greatly not only impact your life today, but tomorrow and in eternity. Do you see, parents, why sending your child, your teen, to a year of Bible school is such a great investment? For a whole year, they get to sit under the Word of God and be taught about its truths. That's something that you can't put a price tag on, because they're going to be shaping their views, what they really believe, not just because it's what I've been taught, not just because it's what my parents have instilled in me, but because I believe it. Because I've been taught it. And you say, "Well, Bible college is expensive." Yeah, it is. But it's something that's making an impact far beyond this life into the next. Because you're spending an entire year sitting under the Word of God and being impacted by its truths. Why not send them to a year of Bible school? Why not see that as the greatest investment your son or daughter could ever have? You can study the Word of God on your own, but you will never study the Word of God, I guarantee you, or make the time to study it the way you would at Bible school, because you'll be forced to. Yeah, we should be studying God's Word individually and personally, and we should, especially if we see that the impact it has on our future. You'll never regret studying the Word of God more. Do you understand that? Even all of those who never went to Bible school, you'll never regret studying the Word of God more. You will, however, regret not taking the Word of God seriously. You will regret not studying the Word of God seriously and not living more by its truths. At the end of your life, you'll never regret the time you spent in the Word of God. You never think, "Man, why did I spend so much time studying God's Word?" You think, "Wow, why did I allow Facebook? Why did I allow my gardening? Why did I allow my job? Why did I allow whatever to take first place in my life?" Because we get distracted. See, these are all truths we know. Many of us have been in church our entire lives. You could preach this sermon for me. But yet, we sometimes fail to let it impact our lives. So how about you? If God's Word is the greatest investment, what are your excuses for not taking it more seriously? And I'm asking myself this very question. What's keeping you from studying God's word every day? Is it because you just stay up too late and you watch your favorite TV show so you struggle to get up in the morning? Is it the children that get off to school? What is it? What's your excuse? What's keeping you from studying the word of God as a family? Getting together as a family and studying God's word together. If this is the greatest influence, the greatest investment you could ever make, why aren't you investing in it? Why aren't you memorizing his word more? We memorize quotes from movies. We memorize funny sayings. And I'm guilty of this. Why aren't we studying? Why aren't we memorizing the word of God more? Why has our church attendance been so lacking? Are those things for which we're skipping church really more important than studying the word of God and worshiping the God Almighty? That's stepping on toes, Pastor. Yeah, I know. It's stepping on all of our toes. If God's word is as important as it claims to be, let's make it our number one priority in our lives. Let's not get distracted. So the word of God is worth investing because it does not return void, because it endures forever. And thirdly, we see in Hebrews 4:12, some of you could quote this by memory, that the word of God is alive and it changes lives. The word of God is alive and it changes lives. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of the Lord, I'm actually going to turn there. I have most of mine written right on my page. That's why I can quote them so fastly. But I want you to see the verses before that. But let's pick up with 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In verse 11, the author of Hebrews says, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the example of disobedience. The word of God is alive and changes lives. We need to invest the word of God into our lives because it's the word of God that we see God, and it's through the word of God we see how God sees us. That was Warren Wiersbe. Let me read that again. It's in the word of God that we see God, and it's through the word of God we see how God sees us. God's word is alive and powerful. It penetrates, it cuts even the most calloused hearts, even the most stubborn spirits. And the writer of Hebrews is telling his listeners in verse 11 to give all diligence to enter into the rest of God. See, he was talking primarily to the Israelites who were doing nothing but disobeying God. And they weren't entering into this rest because of their disobedience. True rest is found only in obeying and heeding the word of God. That's what he's trying to remind these people, his listeners. The Israelites for years turned their back on God and they disobeyed his word. And as a result, they had no rest, no peace. The word of God is, if the word of God is alive and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, it should be our roadmap of life. It shows us where we shouldn't go and where we should go. When we get off track, it pierces our hard hearts and gets us back on track because it's alive and it changes lives. The word of God is worth investing in because it's the tool that God uses the most to make us more like him. When we get off track and we find out that we're not doing what God's word says, it shows us that, and that's why we need to be in his word every day. Should be our roadmap for life. Well, the word of God is worth investing in because it's the tool that God uses us to make us more like him. So what about you this morning? Are you seeking the rest that's found only in the word of God? Are you seeking to live by the truths that are found in God's word? True rest is found only in God and in his word. That doesn't mean life will be just full of dandelions and, well, that would be a terrible example, full of roses and flowers. What it does mean is despite the trials, despite the hardships that you face, you can find rest because you're God's child and you're trusting in his word and what it says is true. Be diligent to study the word of God and live by the word and you will find rest. You will find true rest, true peace in the toughest of times. The word of God is alive and it changes lives. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Not only is the Word of God alive and it changes lives, we see the fourth reason why it's worth investing into our lives. This was the very truth that Mike Pelletier was preaching home to us, I believe it was on Thursday or Friday night. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 through 25. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. The Word of God brings the greatest return. That's the fourth reason. The Word of God brings the greatest return. We need to invest the Word of God into our lives. It's because the Word of God is the strongest foundation. If 70% of your house, of your life, is founded on the Word of God, and 30% is not, you will find that you have cracks in your life. You will have cracks in your foundation. You've got to stop building your life on ideologies of this world. And you've got to start building your life on nothing but the Word of God. Because that is the true foundation. Even if 5% of your foundation is not on the Word of God, is on your own thinking, you will find that you have cracks in your life. The Word of God brings the greatest return because it's the true foundation. And when the storms come, and they will come, it's not a matter of will they come, they will come. How will you stand? What will be the result? The Word of God brings the greatest return. If your life is built on the rock, it'll stand firm. But if it's built on the sand, if there's any part, it'll crack. When the storms of life come, what will be your return? What are you building on this morning? Are you building your life on the Word of God and the truths that are in it? Are you building your life on the things of this world? Are you convinced that the Word of God brings the greatest return? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the sand? And what's keeping you from building on the rock? What's keeping you from building your life on the Word of God? Personally and as a family, what's distracting you? We need to remove those distractions. We need to be building on the rock. The fifth reason we find in John 17, 17, you could quote this probably, in Psalms 19, 119, verse 160. What does John 17, 17 say? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And Psalms 119, verse 160 says, the entirety of your word, all of your word is truth. Every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. The fifth reason why we should be building our life on the Word of God, not only is the Word of God bring the greatest return, but the Word of God is absolute truth. It's absolute truth. Do you believe that? That this is the absolute truth? You need to be convinced of that. We live in a world, this postmodern era, that says there is no truth. And how dare you tell me what truth is? Because all truth is relative. What's true for you is true for you, but what's true for me is true for me. And how dare you stand up and say, this is what's right and this is what's wrong? What makes you the judge? That's the world we live in. And more than anything, we need to stand on the absolute truth. Because as soon as you walk off the absolute truth, as soon as you start taking this as a book of suggestions, as soon as you start going off of what you think instead of what the Word of God feels, what the Word of God says, that's when you have a problem. When you say, well, this is what I think the Bible says, or this is what I feel, who cares about what you feel? Who cares about what you think? I want to know what the Word of God says. That's what matters. And I see Christians shaping their theology and taking what they believe to the Word of God and trying to make the Word of God say what they want it to, instead of going to the Word of God and saying, Lord, teach me what your Word says. And when you do that, you're on a dangerous slope. You're on a dangerous path. The Word of God is the absolute truth. If we do not believe the Bible to be the absolute truth, this is the roller coaster we'll be on. Who can tell us what truth is? Here's a newsflash. The Word of God is absolute truth. We need to be investing our lives into the Word of God. All the Word of God is absolute truth. You cannot just pick and choose what you feel is right and what you don't feel is right. All of it is true. The entirety of it, as it says in Psalms 119 and verse 60 and 160, the entirety of your word is truth. Not just some of it, all of it. When the Bible says, thus says the Lord, it means thus saith the Lord. Your view of the Bible will drastically change the way you view every area of life. If you don't see this as absolute truth, your view of the world and how you view things will change drastically. We need to believe that this book is God's book and is therefore supernatural. It's God-breathed. It's not a human document. Yes, did God use human writers? Yes. Human authors over a span of 1,500 years by over 40 different men. How could all of them write with such perfect unity if it wasn't God? You want to know why? Because in 2 Peter 1:21 it says, for the prophecy never came by the will of man, but by the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is God's word. He breathed it. We've got to be convinced this isn't a human document. And I've heard believers say, well, it was just, you know, some of it's good and some of it's not. I wish there was other books that were included. God's word is complete, as we're going to see. It's perfect, Psalms 119:7 says. The law of the world, the Lord is perfect. We sung that this morning, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Much more to be desired than they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honeycomb. God's word is perfect. It's complete. We should be desiring it more than gold, as the psalmist said. Much more than fine gold, sweeter also than the honeycomb. That's how much we should be desiring the word of God. Not only is the word of God supernatural and God-breathed, not only is it perfect, it's without error. There's no error in the word of God. When the word of God is pure, Proverbs 30 verses 5 through 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their faith and trust in him. Do not add to his word, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Proverbs 30 verses 5 and 6, God's word is without error. There is no truth found in the word of God that God did not speak and mean what he said. Do you believe that? God's word is complete. And when we talk about that it's not that it's without error, when God said, do not be deceived in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 through verse 12, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God, he meant what he said. And if your life is characterized by one of these things, if your life is characterized by being an adulterer, if your life is characterized by being a homosexual, if your life is characterized by drunkenness, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. God's word does not have errors in it. I don't care what the world tells you about homosexuality. When God condones it, he condones it. He loves those people, and he wants those people to accept Christ because they're sinners, just as much as he loves the drunkard, just as much as he loves the adulterer, just as much as he loves the thief. His word does not have error. What he says is true. His word is complete. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2. You shall not add to my word, which I command you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Not only is it complete, it's sufficient. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is sufficient. It's all that we need. It has all that we need to live for God is contained in the word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have the complete word of God. We have all that we need to live for God. It's absolute truth. And we must invest the word of God into our lives because it's God's word and not ours. If we are not viewing everything through the word, if we're not seeing the word of God as absolute truth, and we're not viewing everything through the lenses of scripture, you know what we're doing? We're looking through everything through our own personal, selfish, sinful glasses. I had a professor in college that said, we have to look at everything through the lenses of Scripture. We literally need to take the Word of God and examine everything through the Word of God and test it with the Word of God. And if it doesn't match up, we shouldn't be doing it. We need to be looking through our biblical glasses. We need to understand that God's Word is absolute truth, and we need to invest it into our lives. We all know that investing God's Word is important. Yet if we were to look at our time, just our time alone and how we spent our time, what would be our conclusion on your life, the importance of God's Word? If we were to just look at your time in an average day and we look at how much time you spend in God's Word, what would be the conclusion? How important is the Word of God in your life? Our time would be a good indication of where our true hearts are. King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, said that everything in his life was pointless except for fearing God and keeping his commandments. Is God the center of your life, or are you the center of your life? The Word of God is worth investing in your life. Take the advice from the expert, King Solomon. Keep investing the Word of God into your life. Let's pray.